101, ISM 5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you till noon. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan in the green zone at that time. They'll take you till 3. Eagles on a bye this week. But they'll be back next Sunday against the Patriots. Following Sunday on Sunday Night Football against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. You can win the Ultimate Birds fan experience, 2 tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagle safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this Ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 975 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. We're talking a lot of Eagles football. I'm going to look around some of the games this week, today, and let you know. We all know where the rooting interest should be, but we'll just look at some of the ramifications of some of these games. And I want to hear from you, the top three NFL people, whether they're players, coaches, broadcasters, analysts, whatever it is, who helped you fall in love with this game of football. We've been having some fun with that the first couple hours today. Mine were Randall Cunningham, Buddy Ryan, and Jerome Brown. Malik in Jersey, you're on The Fanatic. What's up, Malik?
How you doing, sir?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you?
I know. First, I want to get my players.
Get my topic.
Go ahead.
The players I want to give, Reggie Bush,
T.O.,
and Steve Young.
And Steve Young. Yeah, you got your turn signal on? All right. You good?
Yeah.
Reggie Bush, Steve Young, and T.O. Those are definitely good ones. Steve Young was real. My favorite Steve Young highlight was, I think it was like a 40-something yard touchdown run against the Minnesota Vikings. You remember that one?
My favorite one was, I like Steve Young because I'm left-handed, so it's not that many left-handed quarterbacks.
No doubt.
And I fell in love with when the game they played the Packers. Where
the T.O.?
If there was a T.O. Between the two Packers defenders.
Oh, it was a playoff game. I think that was the final play of the game, right? Final play of the game. He got buried on that. I thought he got hit on that one. Hung tough. T.O. catches it over the middle. Remember T.O. crying afterward after making that play?
That was his coming out party.
Yeah. Man, that was definitely a good one. Steve Young, I thought, was one of – he's in a Hall of Fame, but I just thought for a long period of time during his career he was underrated because he played in the shadow of Montana, and then he finally got his ring. And yeah, I love watching Steve Young play for sure. Those are some good ones, Malik. What do you got on the Eagles, my man?
I want the same topic that everybody. I don't agree why everybody seems to blame Wentz for the receivers' problems.
You blame who?
I don't understand why everybody continues to try to blame Wentz for the receivers' problems.
Oh, I don't. I certainly don't. I think the problems lie with the receivers. And of course, Carson's not perfect, and there's some throws that he's got to have back. But guys aren't getting open for him a lot. They're just not getting open. When they do, they're dropping the ball. There's a lot of blame belongs to the wide receivers.
If you watch the game, like Carson is a lot of the times he's making something out of nothing.
Yeah, I do see that a lot. You're right. He does do that a lot, and sometimes it gets underappreciated because people are focusing on some of the misses.
Yeah, him, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson are the hardest quarterbacks to bring down.
Yeah, I would definitely put those three currently playing. If you want to go back a little bit, Michael Vick was tough to bring down because he was so elusive. But yeah,
when the defender got their hands on him. Like, no, not one defender is always bringing it. It got to be like three guys bringing one stack. The first one's not always bringing them down.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. And Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's just so good. He's playing at another level right now. But Carson kind of was in that Big Ben mold. You know, he's big. He's tough. Not as burly as Ben Roethlisberger, but tough to bring down. He can run better than him. He's got more speed than he does, more elusive than Ben Roethlisberger. I think, Malik, for what this team has to do with what they have and the receivers around him, they got to run the football this year.
Yeah, one more thing before we hang up. I want you to ask your other audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you compare, because for the next, like, 5 years, it's going to be Wentz versus Dak. So, for so far in their careers, compare the weapons Dak had to the Wentz weapons that Wentz had. And Dak had the best weapons by a long shot.
Oh, Dak definitely has got great weapons. Abs.
I was talking to my friend about that because he's a Cowboys fan. I keep telling him Dak has way better weapons than Wentz ever had.
Yeah. No doubt. He certainly did. I appreciate the call, Matt and Malik. Thank you, man. Have a good Sunday. Dak right now, I mean, he's got Zeke Elliott. He's got, I know Amari Cooper's banged up. What his status is today, I actually got to make a decision on Amari Cooper for my fantasy football team that no one else cares about. But he's certainly got more. When you got Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, but listen, the Eagles got Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, and although they're not at Zeke's level, that's a good tandem back there. And this team has an opportunity to run the football and have success that way. And I think that's where they have to absolutely continue to focus, shift their identity to that. I'm not one of these. I'm not an old school football guy who's run between the tackles and grind it out and play that way. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say that every week and every season. But after nine games, when you look at what the Eagles have and you evaluate your strengths versus your weaknesses and what they do to win games, and then I give you a number, a stat that I researched and found that since Doug Peterson took over, when they gain at least 120 on the ground, they're 21-2. That tells me that's the magic number to shoot for. You get 120 on the ground, you're going to win a football game. That's what they've proven in the Doug Peterson era. And one of the losses was a 2016 game, his rookie season, Carson's rookie season, against Baltimore, where they lost by a point because they went for two rather than an extra point to go into overtime. So they could have kicked the extra point, went into overtime, maybe won that game, and that number would be, instead of 21-2, 22-1. But as it stands, it's 21-2. 120 yards is the magic number. With Jordan Howard being a power running back, and what we've seen in the last couple weeks is the offense lining up with Carson Wentz under center, that just lends itself to running the football better and having more success. And this offensive line loves to run block. They tell you that. I've seen them look towards the sideline and ask for more runs, emphatically calling for more runs. And if they could do that, chew up some clock, keep Tom Brady off the field, keep Russell Wilson off the field, the time of possession game, I know it's cliche, but those guys can't score when they're standing on a sideline. It's just fact. Now, in New England's case, they find ways to score even when Tom Brady is on a sideline. I think there was a stat at one point that said if Tom Brady and the offense didn't show up this year, they still would have won a bunch of games. It would have been a 500 team because the defense is not allowing points and they're scoring points. But their defense has allowed Nick Chubb 131 yards a couple weeks ago. Frank Gore had 109 for Buffalo. And Mark Ingram last week in the only game that the Patriots lost to the Ravens, he had 115, and Lamar Jackson chipped in with 60+, and they had over 200. So even though they're ninth, I believe, in the NFL, I just gave that out to a caller. They were ninth in the league against 12th in the league against the run, New England, which is not terrible, giving up 99 yards per game. They've been susceptible a little bit. So I think that's the way the Eagles got to go. This season, without DeSean Jackson, this is what you have to do to win football games. And you can win football games by running the ball, controlling the clock, mixing in and making Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert the two best tight end tandem in the NFL right now, the focal point of the passing attack. And maybe that opens things up a little bit. And Alshon makes a play. And Nelson makes a play. And I know there's a lot of people who want to criticize Mac Hollins, and I get it because he's out there on the field for all these snaps, and he's not getting targets, he's not getting open. But the thing is, he is their seventh option. He's their seventh option. And how much better is the rushing attack because of a run-blocking wide receiver like Mac Hollins? I know that it's not exciting to look at and it doesn't give you fantasy football points, but if the offense runs the ball more efficiently with Mac Hollins on the field as opposed to Mac Hollins not being on the field, maybe that's there's some merit to him being out there. 610-632-0975. What are your thoughts on this Eagles football team right now at 5-4? Who are the top three guys that made you fall in love with the NFL? I know there's someone out there. Now, we've mentioned there's been a lot of broadcasters and non-players. Man, I mentioned Buddy Ryan as a coach. Someone mentioned John Madden as a broadcaster. Someone mentioned Howard Cosell. I think it was Q who mentioned Steve Sable. T-Love, I think, who just mentioned Howard Cosell and Don Meredith, he also mentioned. I bet you someone out there may have fallen in love because, you got to be on the younger side a little bit. Maybe an Aaron Andrews or someone like that helped you fall in love with this game of football. Not for those reasons. Don't let your mind go there. I'm not talking about that. 610-632-0975. Looking around the league today, seeing some of the games. The big one is an Eagles fan. You got to be rooting for the Vikings tonight. But I mentioned this earlier, and then Jimmy in Mount Holly called, and he also mentioned it too, as the consolation, if the Cowboys win the game, well, at least that's the fourth loss for the Vikings. So you got that. But of course, first and foremost, you want to win the division. You want to get the home field in the first round of the playoffs. You win a division, you get a 3 or 4 seed, and then you want to see the Cowboys lose. But if the Cowboys happen to win, at least that's a fourth loss for the Vikings, who you're going to have to surpass if you have any shot at a wild card, which I think right now is still remote. The other one would be Green Bay, Carolina, for the same reason. Green Bay's at home. Just give them the division, and you want to root to see Carolina lose and get to their fourth loss. The other one is the Rams at the Steelers. You always want to see an AFC team beat an NFC team. There's no reason to see the Rams lose. But then if the Rams lose today, they're also 5-4. So you got Steelers to root for at 4 o'clock. You got Packers at 4:25. You got the Vikings at 8:20. Then Monday Night Football. I looked at it two ways, and I thought if Seattle surpasses, looking ahead to the first round of the playoffs, if they win the division and you're a 3 or a 4, if you're the 4, I'm going to assume they get in as the 4. I don't think they'll surpass and be a 3. So they win the division as a 4, you're going to play the best wild card team. I'd rather play San Fran here in Philly in January than Seattle. So for that reason, I would want Seattle to win the division. But if you want to hold on to some hopes of a wild card possibility, you root for San Fran to just win that division. Seattle gets their third loss, and then you give them their fourth loss. So there's that, too, in that game. That's a little tough. Now you look around some of these other games, there's really no other than whether you got a wager on it. Like, Josh, you got a little interest in that Lions-Bears game now that Matt Stafford's not playing? Just a tad bit of interest in it?
Well, before I even found out, I had the Bears at -2.5, so it's looking a little bit better now.
I wonder what that's had a shift now, right? If you try and get in on that -2.5 in Stafford, that was with Stafford starting. It's got to go to maybe 4.5 right now?
Probably something close to that. Stay tuned for the Green Zone. They'll probably give an update on those odds.
No, hey, that's a great, great setup for that. No doubt. Tyrone Johnson, Patty, set you up with all the odds and go around the league. Ravens, Bengals, Bills and Browns, some bad football games. Giants, Jets. Ugh, that's a horrible one. Let's go to Lance in Arizona. You're on a Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, yeah. So on the Matt Stafford situation, that next week they play the Cowboys, and there's a good chance he's not playing in that game.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I wanted him healthy for that one.
Yeah, so the Eagles might get, even though the Cowboys' schedule is harder down the stretch, they're not getting much help. They really need the Vikings win means more than a Vikings loss, because you lose the tiebreaker with them anyway. So if you go 10-6 and they go 10-6, you automatically lose. So So you really rather them beat Dallas because you could still beat Dallas head-to-head to get the tiebreaker and win it. So to me, that game next week, it's such a crushing thing that Matt Stafford has a broken back now as compared to week three.
Oh.
The same thing with like Atlanta, too. Like, Atlanta stinks now. If you played Atlanta now, you'd probably beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just happened to flow in the week two of the season, and they're coming off really triple revenge for those guys. And now the Lions, he's probably going to be out. Now, he's probably got a back issue that's fractured, like kind of like Carson Wentz last year, and you would think he's going to be out for a while, if not the rest of the season. So that certainly impacts next week's game for the Eagles.
I want to say he had one early in his career, too, and he tried to play through it, I think, his rookie year. And they got all the way to the last two games of the season. He just couldn't do it. I'm guessing with nothing to play for with the Lions, if they lose this game today, they're going to be way far back in that division. He's just not going to play. But I wanted to make a Sixers point.
Sure.
Because I went to the game out here against the Suns on Monday, and I watched the games on the road trip. I get they were without Joel for two games, so the defense wasn't going to be as good. And one game they didn't have Ben. But, man, their defense on this road trip was just bad for most of the time. But, like, it was just bad when they needed it to be good. And then I think fundamentally, like, if you look at Al Horford, he's played well when Joel Embiid hasn't been on the court. The game in Phoenix, he was incredible. Joel wasn't there. When he's with Joel, I just think there's fundamentally, it's just not going to work with those two because you don't have enough shooters, and he has to become your best three-point shooter, which he's averaging the most threes on the team, which that's not good. To me, I just don't think it's going to work. Even if they get more together, they're going to get better because they're playing together. I just don't think you're good enough to beat a team like the Lakers or a team like the Clippers with the lineup that you have out there. You have to make some sort of move to get another shooter in there because right now, I don't think that's going to coexist to be the best team that they could be.
Right now, and I agree with you, Lance, right now they're certainly not, and good call, man, as always.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. They're not the best team in the East. They have the talent to be the best team in the East, but they're not the best team in the East right now. And they got some things, they got some flaws that are obvious. The two biggest, they talked about this a lot yesterday for 3 hours, the two biggest concerns coming into this season was Joel Embiid's conditioning and his ability to play at a high level in the fourth quarter and not run out of gas. And we've seen, although he came in 20 pounds lighter, it's one thing to transform your body shape. I've lost 15 pounds in the past couple months. I'm not able to run up and down the court because I'm not doing any kind of cardio conditioning. Just ate better, lifted differently. He made the changes to his diet and nutrition to lose that weight. But losing that weight doesn't necessarily translate into an ability to go rim to rim. And when he's going from the free throw line to free throw line and he's not going rim to rim and he's not playing in the paint, that's a problem. And Ben Simmons, the question was, is he going to add a shot? Is he going to start shooting the ball? And right now, he's played 7 games and he's taken 3 shots beyond 10 feet. And he's missed all 3 of them. And he hasn't taken one from beyond 15. Those are just the flat-out numbers right now for Ben Simmons. So those two concerns that we had going into the season still remain concerns right now 8 games into it. I'm not going to overreact and panic over a 5-3 start and a 3-game losing streak and Embiid not being out there for 2 of those games. One was a win and one was a loss, and Simmons not being out there for the last one and most of the previous one. I think it's still too early, but and it's certainly not time to fire the coach, but there's legitimate concerns and questions surrounding this basketball team, and now they have a chance to win these next 2 at home, today against Charlotte, Tuesday against Cleveland, be it 7-3 after 10 games, but we anointed them, or a lot of people did, the best team in the NBA Eastern Conference. Right now, they're not the best team in the NBA's Eastern Conference. So we can mix in some Sixers conversation over the course of the next hour or so until Ty and Pat take over for the Green Zone. But I want to continue the conversation on the Eagles. What you think about this team at 5-4. Are you as confident in them as I am that they can win this division? I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl team anymore, but I think they can win this division. And yeah, now the Cowboys get a little bit of a break playing at Detroit next week. So I look at the Eagles' schedule and I go, possibility, if they split the next two, they could go 11-5. If they split these next two, they should go 11-5. They will be favored in their remaining games. Miami at home against Dallas, at home against the Giants, on the road against the Giants, on the road against Washington. They'll be favored in those remaining games. The line might be a little small on the Cowboys, but you're home. You should be favored in that one if they split the next two. If they lose the next two, they can go 10-6, but I think they got to win one of these next two. And the key to winning one of these next two is to run the football. That's what this team's strength has become, and they got to do that. And also today we're having some fun with, who are the three people that made you fall in love with the sport, the NFL? Who are the three for you? For me, it was Buddy, Randall, and Jerome. I don't even have to say their last names. Y'all know Buddy, Randall, and Jerome. Who were your three? Don't have to be local. They could be league-wide. We had some good ones. Bo Jackson, Barry Sanders, Deion Sanders. Had some announcers, John Madden, Howard Cosell, Don Meredith, even had Steve Sable in the mix there too. So who are your three? How'd you fall in love with the sport of football, the NFL that we love? Eagles are on a bye week, but there's a lot of action going on today. A lot of games that matter to the Eagles, none more so than the Vikings-Dallas tonight at 8:20. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines. I'm Rob Motti on a Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
11:30, 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. Till Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan take over for the Green Zone at noon. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Bachman's Roofing, Building, and Remodeling. Quality and service. Bachman's nails it every time. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
Rob, how you doing? Thanks for taking a call, brother.
Oh, thanks for making it, man. How you been?
Pretty good. Hanging in there.
Awesome.
I just can't wait for this year to be over. You know, the peak season's coming up.
Nice.
I can't just lay around and just write books, you know, shell them out, you know, collect on a monthly stipend. I'm just kidding with you.
I hear you.
Keep up the writing.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Now, I know you heard the author, Michael Conley. I'm reading his book. You know, I read every book of his.
Who?
It's like Michael Conley.
Michael Conley. No, I got to look him up.
Look him up. He's already up to book almost 30.
Okay.
It's a novel.
Wow.
He's a detective.
Gotcha.
Based in L.A. because, you know, such a California fan guy. First with your Eagles.
Yeah.
Disappointed Nelson Aguilar. I know he'd be good coming out of USC. The wide receivers are a lot to be desired. I don't know if you saw the games last night with the LSU and especially the USC game against, they played Arizona State.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Arizona State's got a couple of quarterbacks. You'll be hearing their names. But the wide receivers, especially for USC, they got two coming out, Vaughn and Pittman. They're going to be the first rounders. They got Brown, this kid, Drake London. He's always going to play basketball. So hopefully he sticks around for 3 years. So he's going to have some choice whether he's going to play basketball or football. But this is, to me, I just find college basketball, football would be more exciting than college basketball.
What about more so than the NFL? You like it more so than the NFL? College football?
I'm starting to like for college football more than NFL.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I hear you. Who you got, Mitch, on your top three? Who made you fall in love with the game? Yeah.
Marcus Allen. Vince Ferragamo and Vince Evans.
Vince Ferragamo?
Yeah.
The Rams quarterback. I remember. Did he beat the Eagles in the playoffs 1 year? Or was that... I don't remember that far back. Like, I don't remember watching it, but I thought the Eagles played the Rams in like 79 when the Rams went to, didn't the Rams go to the Super Bowl that year against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, right. He only had a couple of good years. He had a cup of coffee.
Vince Ferragamo. I like it. Well, I like the Ferragamo brand, and I don't think it has any relation to Vince Ferragamo, but
Vince Evans, you remember him?
Vince Evans, the quarterback for the Bears, right?
Bears, Jets, Raiders.
Yeah, USC guy. Yeah, I remember him a little bit.
He made a career being a backup.
You picked some obscure guys, Mitch. How about that?
I know. You know what you get to when you pick up the phone. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great Sunday. Debbie tweets at me with her three, Herschel Walker, Seth Joyner, and the late, great Minister of Defense. No doubt. Reggie White used to, my uncle Jack is a, well, he's retired now for the most part, but he was a tailor in South Philly at one of those big and tall men's shops. And Reggie and a lot of the Eagles would go in there and they'd get their suits there. So he was his tailor. So I remember, I don't think I'm at that time, I was probably in my either early teens or like 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there, 13. And my uncle got me this. So Reggie had this little, like, it's almost like a cardboard poster board, a cutout, printout. Of him advertising for this place, and he signed it for me. And I don't have many autographs. I never asked for autographs, even as a kid. I remember the first one I ever asked for was a relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds by the name of Ted Power. That was it. And I never really asked for autographs. And but that Reggie one, I still have. That Reggie one, I do still have. I'll never forget. I was in this job that I am now, covering the Eagles for the AP since 2000, and he passed away, I believe it was 04, 2004. I think it was December 2004. I just remember waking up on a Sunday, because it was a Sunday going into the season. And then I had an opportunity. I met his son, I think, last year, interviewed his son on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and then found out a good friend of mine, good pastor, friend of mine who was close with him. He went to his church. Reggie did so. All these things afterwards, but I never really got a chance. I don't think I ever got a chance early in his career. He may have. When did Reggie retire? Did I cover Reggie White's career at all? Reggie retired. He was in Carolina. Reggie retired. I believe he did. He retired in 2000. So that was my first year covering the Eagles in the NFL. He was on Carolina in 2000 that year. I don't know that they played the Eagles. Now I'm going to have to look that up, 2000 season, and see if Carolina was 6-7-9. They did not play the Eagles that year. So I don't think I ever got a chance to cover Reggie White at all in his career. But I remember, though, man, he was dominant. He was absolutely dominant. So dominant. So many good ones that we've received. So many. Hey, it's the people that made you fall in love with football. There's no right or wrong. It's whoever it is that made you fall in love with football. And of course, for most people, it's going to go back to their childhood. So if you grew up in the 2000s, it might be guys like B-Dawg. If you grew up in the 90s, like I did, it would be guys like Reggie and Jerome and Randall in the 80s, really. Late 80s for that team. 88, 89, and 90. And then Buddy Ryan gets fired. Rich Kotite takes over. They finally win a playoff game. I remember that way they finally won that playoff game against New Orleans. And Reggie had a safety against Bobby Hebert. And Rich Kotite's Eagles finally won. I remember the first time I ever listened to sports talk radio was the day after Randall Cunningham tore his ACL against the Green Bay Packers. And we didn't know the extent of the injury. You didn't have Twitter back then. All I knew is Randall got hurt against the Green Bay Packers. It was a knee injury. It looked serious. So the day after, all day long, I'm listening to news radio, sports radio, trying to get the severity. Is he going to be out for the season? Jim McMahon takes over. And that was the first time I discovered sports talk radio in this town. And that was, of course, the early stages of it. And we all know who was doing it at that time, and legendary guys in this city. But that was the first time I discovered sports talk radio, and I was like, wow, well, you could do this? I didn't know that. At the time, I'm now senior in high school, or was I freshman in college, whatever it is, thinking I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. That wasn't going to work out for me, not past college. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with myself? And went into journalism and then broadcasting and all that stuff. But those I remember back to those times, Randall and Reggie and Jerome and that defense. And that's how I fell in love with the sport of football. But some people have Bo Jackson on the list. Man, he was so fun to watch. Dion was so fun to watch. Haven't had, no surprise, have not had one person say Emmett, Troy, or Michael Irvin. Haven't had any of those. Nobody. Tony Dorsett, Randy White, Danny White. Haven't had any of those. The only Cowboy who's been mentioned was Herschel Walker. That's the only one. And when you think of Herschel Walker, you don't think of hated Cowboys, because he played for the Vikings. He played here for the Eagles, had success here with the Eagles, and he played on bad Cowboys teams. He was on Jimmy Johnson's 1-15 team, I believe. He was on bad Cowboys teams. So haven't had any of the Cowboys that make people that have no Cowboy fans that said anybody made them fall in love. You know, I haven't had that. And that's a good thing, because I wouldn't have hung up on you, but hey, would have heard you out. Tonight, you got the Cowboys-Vikings game, and it's a big one for Eagles fans. You want the Vikings to win. If they lose the game, yeah, that gives them their fourth loss. But the Eagles' path to the playoffs is not going to be as a wild card team. But what I'll do when I come back, I'll look at the schedules of a couple of the other teams who are ahead of the Eagles, just in case. Just in case the Eagles, I think it was Jimmy earlier or someone else said, they can go 11-5, but not win the division, because the Cowboys go 11-5 and get the tiebreaker. And at 11-5, you would hope that that's good enough to get you into the playoffs. So now I want to look at some of the other teams who are ahead of them. Seattle 7-2, Vikings are 6-3. Right now, Rams and Panthers are both 5-3. So I'll look at some of their schedules and see if we can predict what they can do. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti, 610-632-0975. Monday's Veterans Day, and 97.5 The Fanatic thanks all veterans for serving our country. Monday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Anthony Gargano will be inviting vets and a guest to join him for a complimentary lunch next Monday, November 18th. At the grand opening of Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley, Anthony will be broadcasting from the Outback Steakhouse that day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. All listeners are invited to attend this event. Plus, we will be having our mid-season Philadelphia football roundtable from 12 to 2 p.m. with special guests, Birds vets Darwin Walker and Trey Thomas. So check that out. And also, the Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices, open for browsing now. Just in time for the holiday gift shopping season, the Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5thefanatic.com. 610-632-0975. We got Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan are going to take over for the Green Zone at noon. Josh, 1 o'clock football game options for you in the Philadelphia area, in the Delaware Valley, if you don't have NFL Sunday ticket, are pretty darn pathetic. What are those options today?
On Fox, we have what is widely known now as the toilet bowl between the two New York teams, the Jets and the Giants. Then you go over to CBS, and now that we know that Matt Stafford is out, we have kind of a poor matchup between the Lions and Bears.
With Jeff Driscoll at quarterback for the Detroit Lions, a lot of people may be wondering, who the heck is Jeff Driscoll? In 2018, he started 5 games for the Bengals with Andy Dalton out. He went 1-4. He completed 59.7% of his passes. He didn't turn it over. 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, threw for 1,000 yards, and a quarterback rating of 82.2. He was a sixth-round pick in 2016 by the San Francisco 49ers. So Jeff Driscoll is now the starting quarterback for the Lions with Matthew Stafford out with a back injury. So those are your 1 o'clock options. There really aren't any other games that, though, you can watch. Ravens-Bengals are on at 1 also. It's not on TV, but you got a 6-2 Ravens team against an 0-8 Bengals team. That's absolutely terrible. They're going to a new quarterback. Ryan Finley, take it over for Andy Dalton. Then you got the 6-2 Bills and the 2-6 Cleveland Browns. Do you enjoy, Josh, seeing Cleveland Browns just absolutely blowing up as much as I do?
No, I actually do not. So
you're
I went
Browns
to,
guy?
A little bit from this standpoint. I went to college out in Western PA at Slippery Rock University, the Slimy Pebble, okay. And we have a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans there. And the one thing Steelers fans love to do is make fun of the Browns from their high horse. Right. And this year I thought was going to, not that they were going to go to the Super Bowl or anything deep in the playoffs, I thought at least this was the year they'd finish ahead of the Steelers.
Yeah, they were so overhyped, and that's what bothered me. It's not necessarily the Browns. What bothers me is when you get a team that gets so overhyped, and I'm like, win something first before people. They were a fashionable pick by some. Like, they're going to win the division. They're going to come out of the AFC as the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm not taking the Browns to come out of the AFC till they win a division and win some playoff games. I'm not sold on Baker Mayfield. I think he's still immature. He's got some growing up to do. You're going to be a quarterback in the NFL. You got to act like a quarterback in the NFL.
But no part of you pities the Browns at all? I mean, last time they were in the playoffs, Kelly Holcomb and Dennis Northcutt were leading the way in 2002.
Was it really Kelly Holcomb?
I
was thinking, like, was it back in, man, that's right after Tim Couch was there. Then they had, I remember the Bernie Kosar and Brian Sipe days. My goodness. Didn't they have Derek Anderson, too, for a while? They had Derek Anderson in Cleveland. No, I don't feel bad for Cleveland at all. I don't feel bad for that. And the other 1 o'clock options, you got the Falcons and Saints, 1-7 versus 7-1. Giants, which is on, 2-7 versus a 1-7 Jets team. Just absolutely pathetic right there, football. Another game, Cardinals 3-5-1, but at least you got Kyler Murray. And Tampa 2-6, so they're in Tampa. The only thing I like about that is the pirate ship out there in the end zone. I love Tampa. I love the area. That's on at 1. And then the other game, this one's not a bad game. This one, I don't understand why this one wouldn't be on here. The Chiefs against the Titans. At least you got a 4-5 Titans team. And Patrick Mahomes coming back, 6-3. You got Andy Reid. How about this gesture, by the way, out of Andy Reid this week? Did you hear about this, Josh? So Andy Reid this week, in a week where they have a game, flew into Philly to be here for Thursday night. Two of his former players, Donovan McNabb, who is on a contributor to this station, and Troy Vincent, who is now the NFL's executive vice president, number 2 guy to Roger Goodell, were inducted into Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. They were Andy Reid guys. They were on his team. He flew in for that ceremony to be here for the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. Just an absolute class act. I think B. West, who was there, tweeted about it. Other guys did, too. And that's, you know, Andy Reid never really endeared himself to fans here in Philly just because of the way he was just so stoic and didn't show any kind of personality, and fans loved their personality, which always kind of blew my mind because Chase Utley had no personality except for when he said world bleeping champions. Other than that, he never showed personality, but people loved him. And Andy Reid, no, they didn't. So that was, But he came in here, and I thought he did. It was a really awesome thing for him to do. All right, Josh, we got to settle this because I've picked on you a little bit, I'm not trying to bully you or anything like that.
Everybody, you picked on me because I like to wear comfy, cozy pants to work.
I just feel like you could wear. I'm wearing sweatpants right now. I'm wearing sweatpants to the show. You could wear comfy, cozy clothes to work without wearing pajamas. And you've worn pajamas. I've said I don't own a pair. I don't have any. I don't sleep in pajamas. I sleep in shorts and a tank top. And before I had kids, maybe less than that. But I don't own pajamas. So I've taken a picture of you, posted it on there. I've had some fun with it. Dylan McKinnon, another producer here at the Fanatic, has jumped to your defense. And in solidarity, he wore pajamas last week, too. So here's the deal. We got to make a bet, Josh. You and Dylan are going to take the Eagles over the Patriots, right? To win the game.
Yes, sir.
So we don't know the spread. This is a straight up Eagles to win the game. I take the Patriots. I will never pick against Belichick and Brady. And if they lose on another one of my shows, I'm going to have to try condiments for the first time, ketchup especially. But if they lose the Patriots to the Eagles, you guys want me to, first, I got to buy a pair, and then second, wear them to the studio for a full show.
Yes.
Are you going to post this on social media?
Yeah, we will put it on the 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account. And I want to point out, it's not that harsh of a punishment. When the Patriots come into town after the bye week and the Eagles beat up on what is now a limited quarterback in Tom Brady, we are going to force you to wear cozy, comfy pants into work.
Oh, man. All right. We made it official. It's on the air. If the Eagles win this game, I'm going to have to buy a pair of pajamas and then actually wear them to the studio. All right. Thank you to everybody out there listening. Thank you to all the callers, everyone on social media who contributed to the show. Josh Raybeck, great job producing the show.
You got it, dude.
Stay tuned. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan will take you in the green zone. I will be back next weekend. Enjoy your Eagles Sunday bye week. Until then, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.